Welcome to episode 11 of the Conversations on Death podcast. My name is Lorena and I'm your host for the Conversations on Death podcast. Death is the one thing we all have in common, yet it's one of the most taboo subjects in our culture. So I invite you, dear deathling, to join my guests and I as we dive deep into everything death related, and in the process, learn about the many lessons death has to teach us, the living. What's going on, guys? How is everybody doing? So before we get started, just wanted to remind everyone in one day, so Wednesday, tomorrow, July 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I am hosting a event through Reimagine called Conversations on Death, Death Deck Edition, and we're going to be pulling cards from the Death Deck and talking about things that are related to death, and it's going to be fun. Beer and wine is encouraged, and as a reminder, that Zoom recording will be released as a bonus episode on the podcast, so if you ever wanted to be on a podcast, this is your chance. If you want to join, make sure you look at the episode notes, because there is a link right there to join the free event. Now, moving on to today's episode, I talked to Emily Cross. This was recorded a while back, kind of like in the beginning of the corona situation happening. She is an end-of-life doula, musician, and an artist, and she's the founder of Steady Waves Living Funeral Ceremonies. So we talk about virtual living funeral ceremonies, and they're basically meditation on mortality. They're meditations that are led by trained living funeral practitioners, and you get to contemplate your personal memorial while you imagine parts of your identity falling apart and away. Then you complete a writing exercise expressing your last words and wishes, and then you're led through a death meditation using guided imagery. And it's an opportunity to really reflect on the past, kind of evaluate your present, and prepare for the future. And many of the participants who have gone through these have shared that the experience has been life-affirming and even life-altering, which, hello, I'm not surprised. Anyway, so stay tuned if you want to learn more about Emily's story, how she came up with this amazing idea, and more about what a virtual living funeral encompasses. All right, Emily, thank you so much for dealing with the technical issues.
No problem.
So first, I wanted to get into a little bit of your past and wanted to ask you if you recall the first time that you realized you were going to die and contemplated death.
Yeah, I was really young. I was in preschool or something like that. I realized that I was going to die because one of my friends, I think an older person, told me that my mom was going to die. And, you know, of course, when you're that young, that's like the worst thing that you could ever imagine is your mom not being there. So I was like, I remember saying, like, what do you mean she won't come back? Like, ever? Like, she's gone. Mm. And they were like, yeah, one day she's going to be absolutely gone. Like, you cannot ever see her again. So then I was like, well, okay, does everyone do that? And then that's when I grasped the concept that everyone dies and doesn't come back. And so, yeah, I was thinking about myself, but I think, you know, I wasn't like contemplating it or anything. It was more that I was just kind of shocked, like, wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my first experience thinking about death in any real way.
Okay. And then moving forward, you're now a death doula, a soul musician, and you host living funerals. So I wanted to get into how you became a death doula and what led you there.
So as you mentioned, I'm a musician, and I would say that music is not necessarily the most lucrative or stable profession to be in, especially right now, but never really. So I had kind of in the back of my mind been thinking, what can I do to, you know, I have an art degree, so I wasn't set up for any real practical professional career, which is fine. I think obviously many people make that work. But my, what I'm trying to get at was my mind is open for a suggestion of, you know, a career path. And I just happened to be driving one day and heard an interview on the radio about death doulas. And I just kind of knew that that was what I would be good at. Because I have been thinking about death and dying for a long time. And I wasn't aware that there was this position, an opportunity for basically entrepreneurship at the end of life without having to have a medical degree and having to deal with medical issues directly. So yeah, when I heard that on the radio, I thought I'm going to go home and I'm going to look this up on the internet. And this was like 2015. And even then there was a program in my area. And so that's when I signed up. And then I saw that the University of Vermont was doing a pilot program, end of life doula program. And I hopped on that pilot program right away. They actually gave me a scholarship. So that was really awesome. And that program was amazing. Both programs are really good. The other one is called Quality of Life Care, a woman named Dana Cochran from San Marcos. And that's what started my path down this doula life.
Awesome. And what kind of drew you to that? I mean, were you, did you ever like volunteer for hospice or work with dying patients before?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with death. I've always been pretty good also at communicating with people at during hard times, so like heightened emotional states. And I feel calm most of the time. So I think I knew that I would be pretty good at mediating and comforting and, you know, sitting with people at the end of life. I'm not uncomfortable with silence or anything like that. I've worked on the concept of holding space over the years. And I don't know, it just kind of aligns with everything that I like to work on within myself. And also, as I started reading more about it, I became a lot more passionate about end of life choices and education, because I think that the general public really needs some more education surrounding the end of life. So
absolutely. And how did you come up with the idea of hosting live-in funerals? And tell us a little bit more about what they are.
So it was not really my idea. Actually, I saw the concept in a short documentary online. I was just browsing around and I saw them happening in South Korea. So their government instituted this, or I don't know if government did, but this company saw an opportunity to help this large workforce that was extremely unhappy. They have a very high suicide rate, and they have this agreement with certain companies and workforces that they send their employees to these living funerals, these mock funerals. And I think I saw some kind of documentary about it, people going and laying in the coffin and contemplating their mortality and speaking their last words all together in a group. And of course, I didn't really know what they were saying entirely because it was translated, but I was really inspired and I thought for sure it was happening here because it was such a brilliant idea. And they've been happening since 2012 in Korea. So I thought, yeah, there's got to be someone that's doing this here and I can just search online and I can go. And I did find some death meditations, but nothing as kind of extreme as going in person and like laying down, like looking at your memorial, laying down, actually thinking like, okay, this is the last room I'm going to be in. I'm dying right now. Like very much being in the headspace of death and really life. But that's where I got my inspiration, because I didn't find anyone doing it. And I thought, okay, well, I might as well just take the leap. And, you know, at first everyone thought that I was, I mean, not everyone, but it was really hard for me to get people to sign up because, I mean, I basically had to beg my friends to come and do this. But but it's really transformed into something beautiful, and it's something I'm super excited and passionate about.
That was one of my questions, how your family and friends reacted to it. But I guess by that time, they already knew that you were a death doula, so it wasn't that shocking. How do you kind of sell it to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely no one was shocked by, no one is shocked by anything that I do. So I think everyone was just like, oh yeah, that makes sense that you would be doing that right now. But how I sell it, you know, I had to kind of change it from what I think the Korean model is for a Western audience, because we're just culturally different, of course. So instead of coffins, I use shrouds, and I think the flow of the ceremony is a little different and it's a little more intimate. In Korea, it's like 40, 50 people in a room and they have microphones and like multiple facilitators. It feels a lot more like, you know, a workshop, like a big, like company, team building kind of thing. But mine are, you know, much smaller. There's like a 15 person cap and usually it's maybe like six people. And it's just me and there's no microphones or anything. So I adapted it in a way that is a little less scary, I think, to the Western audience. And so when I'm selling people on it, I'm talking a lot more about how they're going to feel afterward, how it's going to help their life, and try to make it seem, which it is, it really is not so much about just like doom and gloom, I'm going to die. It's a lot about, yeah, I'm going to die. How do I reframe and restructure my life to be living in the ways that I want to be living, because death is so, you know, it's going to happen to us. It's inevitable.
Right. And how does it differ from just a simple like death meditation? I was wondering if you could like actually walk me through, obviously not a full on ceremony, but what actually happens once the people get into the room? What's like the ambience like? I just want to get a mental picture.
Sure. Yeah. So we rent spaces from, you know, yoga studios and meditation studios. So I try to rent spaces that are clear and open and kind of have a good feeling in them already. But the way that I set up the space, I would say just a little more involved than like a meditation, a death meditation. Each person has their own table and their own mat that they sit on and their own shroud and their own eye pillow. And it's really like you're with other people, but this is your spot. This is your space to sit down and create this sacred experience for yourself, and which I help with. But they walk into the room and they see their memorial picture, their memorial booklet on their desk. And so that's how they know where to go, because they see their face and they see their birthday and their death day, which is the current day, as if someone else had put that there in memorial to them. And there's a blank piece of paper as well. So they come in, we don't really mingle that much, but we sit usually in some like quiet reflection, do gentle stretching. And then I start with the script that I've developed. It starts with kind of like a falling away of self, which can happen to people at the end of life. From what I've read, of course, I don't know what being at the end of life feels like, but just using my imagination. And then they contemplate their memorial photograph. They really, you know, look at their face and think of their life and how they are presenting to other people and that kind of thing. And then we do a writing exercise, which is a really integral part of the whole process. It's basically, I'm having them pretend like that's the last piece of paper they'll ever see in their whole life, prior to coming into the room, what hadn't they said that they needed to say. And that's the only piece of paper that they will have. And that's kind of symbolic of like, you know, we only have a finite amount of time and you really could just go at any second. So what hadn't you said? And maybe that will help inform how you go about your days moving forward. And then after that, there's a brief, I don't want to give away too much for the people who are going to come to the ceremony, but there's another part that's kind of really transformational it can be. And then we go through they recline and we go through a full body shutdown, you know, visualizing organs and things shutting down and letting go of those physical sensations and focusing more on consciousness. And that's where the meditation takes place. And then they're covered with a shroud and lay dead. And then they're also guided back up to life. And then we kind of meet back once everyone's alive and debrief before going back into the world, because it would be irresponsible to send someone out into the street after something like that.
Right. Yeah, it's a very powerful experience, I'm sure. I'd love to participate. So what have you been told by people what has kind of initially attracted them to want to sign up for something like this?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere from, you know, curiosity to they've just lost someone and they want to better relate to that person who's passed, to they work with dying people and they want to be able to put themselves in their shoes. It can be a lot of people come in because they want to kind of put to rest this old version of themselves. So like during life transitions, if they're trying to shut one door and open the other, it can feel really good to kind of let the old part die and then welcome in the new part. All different reasons.
Okay. And what are some of the transformations that you heard of? Some of your favorite ones? I've loved to hear that.
I mean, people have gotten divorced. People have quit their jobs and started their own businesses. It can be simple too. You know, people have like rekindled relationships that they've let go, you know, reached out and forgiven people or asked for forgiveness. Yeah. So I think the most intense one is a divorce that's happened a couple times. But it makes sense, you know, like if someone's sitting there and thinking like, oh, wow, I'm realizing I really am not happy in this relationship, I should probably get out.
Yeah.
I should maybe check in with them.
Yeah.
But
I think it's so interesting. I'm always such a huge cheerleader for living intentionally and kind of in conjunction with your beliefs and like how you actually want to live your life, because there's so many people, there's such a difference for so many people how they think they want to live their life, but they're not actually living it that way. So I think this is a beautiful tool to actually get people in the now, almost like a memento mori.
Exactly. It's the same exact thing, except for just more in your face about it.
Yeah, but in this instance it needs to be in your face. It absolutely needs to shock people into action, because otherwise you'll just continue to do what you've always been doing. People are way too comfortable, right? You know, change is scary, as we all know. So yeah, that's what attracted me to this whole idea, because when I've heard of a living funeral before, I thought it was, you know, someone's about to pass, and so they want to have their funeral and while they're living. But this is totally different and so much more powerful, because it's not at the end of their life, even though it could be. Who knows? But you know,
yeah, I've definitely had people come that are actually terminal, and they just want to get a little more comfortable. Maybe they have a bunch of anxiety about what it's going to be like, and they just want to feel a little more peace surrounding the topic. But you're absolutely right. I mean, any one of the participants that come into the door can be at the end of their life. They just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you hosted an event for Reimagine, right? I was wondering what that was like for you, since we're in the midst of COVID-19 and the fact that it was virtual. It's a little change from what you're usually doing in person.
It's a lot different. I actually launched the virtual living funerals before the Reimagine Festival. So I had been doing them for, I mean, not that long. I really got it up and running very quickly So I think I was only doing it for a week, and then I submitted my proposal to Reimagine. And it's been amazing, actually. I was kind of nervous about how it would work out. And there were a lot of technical things to figure out and audiovisual stuff. Because, of course, I don't have any of the control that I'm used to having in terms of atmosphere and, you know, everything, essentially. So I had to figure that out. But it's been going well. It's actually, you know, there are positives and negatives about it, but there's definitely something really neat about empowering people to have this experience in their own homes. And it's definitely something we'll continue to do after this whole thing blows over. We'll continue to offer these virtually because of, you know, accessibility issues and, you know, other issues like anxiety and things like that. I think some people would prefer to do it in their own homes, but it's been very interesting.
Have you heard any feedback? I'm just curious because, you know, with COVID-19, death is so much in our face lately. So yeah. I was wondering if maybe you heard from anyone how it was more impactful in this instance that they actually have to face death when they're actually having to face death every day.
Totally. Yeah, I think it's really hitting home. And that's why I thought it was important to figure out how to offer these online. Because you're so right. I mean, it's just in our everyday thoughts at this moment. So I was also a little nervous about how it would be perceived because of that. You know, sometimes when we are faced with so much death, people get really upset if you're just giving them more, more death to think about.
Some more.
Yeah. But I think that it's actually comforting to a lot of people to be doing this and to be, because it really does kind of create this sense of gratitude also at the end. Like, you emerge from it and feeling just so grateful to be alive in general, no matter where you are, what you're doing, if you're trapped in your house or not. So I think in that way, people are liking it. And also, on a more somber note, they're relating to people who are getting sick and passing away. And, you know, it's a very complicated mix of emotions, isn't it?
Yeah. All over the place. And this is just another tool to kind of process that. But yeah, I would imagine the people who attend Reimagine are a little more comfortable talking about death than most of the population. But regardless, it's like, even if you're a death doula and you face death all the time, I feel like it's still different when it comes to your own, because it is.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, totally. And I've had doulas attend and they get completely freaked out. Like it's cool because then you get to see this moment where they're like realizing, oh man, I've been like, they can actually feel it, you know, as opposed to it just being this conceptual idea. And that's the whole point of it. So yeah, the Reimagine ones have been interesting because, and we've been hosting them every week through Reimagine. Me and some of my practitioners that I've trained. Mm-hmm. But we've also been doing them, just for anyone, to sign up through our website. And so it has been interesting to offer them to like more death care professionals and also just the general public and see how that's different.
So since you mentioned some practitioners that you've trained, what's that process like? How can one sign up? Do you have to be a death doula to host these? And what kind of backgrounds do the people who decide to train in this have usually?
You do not have to be a death doula to do this. You can be really anyone at all who has the heart for it, who has the kind of general demeanor for leading sensitive guided meditations. So we have people from all over and all different backgrounds. A lot of them are integrated with the kind of death care scene. There are doulas But some of them are just, you know, we have like Reiki practitioners, we have authors, we have just people, you know, people who work in public health, people who in education. So it really is just whoever is interested in doing this. And my personal goal is for it to be happening far and wide as much as possible. That's my mission, is really just pushing them out to everyone. So anyone who's willing to take it on, I would fully welcome. And that process is just pretty casual and simple. It pretty much consists of my guidance and some PDFs and training calls and you know, a Facebook group. It's pretty casual. People just email me if they're interested and we go from there.
Awesome. Have you found that approaching yoga studios is usually received in a positive light with this, or are people just like freaked out? Because I would imagine a yoga studio is kind of like the place, you know, people are kind of into meditation and not necessarily thinking about death, but I would assume that's more of the place, like the perfect atmosphere to host something like this. But I'm wondering, you know, since you just mentioned your goal is to just expand all over the place, I wonder if this could be done just all over yoga studios. But are there, how do they react to this usually?
I get different reactions, but I've certainly been told no a bunch of times from people who are just freaked out. I think they think it's a more sinister experience. Even though I provide, you know, like videos and testimonials and stuff, they just hear funeral and they're like, no, we don't want to be associated with that. So it's challenging, but, in general, they're receptive to at least hearing about it and thinking about it. And the majority of places I've done it live, like in person, have been in yoga type spaces. And that's just because it's helpful to have an open, clean space. But we've also done them in like community centers and churches and different places. And I actually want to be doing that more because the demographic for yoga studios can be a little bit narrow. So, I mean, in terms of like advertising and promotion by the yoga studio, we're really trying to focus on getting more into different communities and people who have less access to things like this. And hopefully we're going to be doing that more when we can get back into person. But my goal is to open up an actual center.
Wow, that's awesome.
To have. Yeah, that's like my big dream in the sky, is having a center where I can have people come and train people there and have it be kind of a destination for people to come and experience this and have actual coffins. And yeah, so I'm excited about the prospect of that one day. But for now, I'm just trying to mobilize as many people as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you envision it being? Have you thought of that?
Yeah, well, I'm about to move to a place called Cornwall, which is in Southwest England.
Okay.
And I think, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm a citizen over there. I have dual citizenship because my dad is from there. And it's just a very dramatic and moody and beautiful place. And it's really kind of not somewhere that you would think something like that would be. So I'm interested in how that, seeing how that goes. But at the same time, I'm completely open to whatever life presents me in terms of opportunities. So we'll just see how it goes.
Beautiful. Awesome. Yeah, I envision it being like in Colorado or California and then, you know, like expanding from there. But hey, that works too.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's tricky about the southwest of England is that not many people, you know, can get over there. But if they're in London or England, they can take a train or something, but and be more of a destination. But yeah, I mean, in the future, I would love to have multiple centers. And yeah, I could just daydream all day about stuff like that.
Yeah,
one step at a time.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, this is something that everyone literally should do. So it's not like you'll find one specific, you know, place where those people would be more attracted. It's just everyone should be doing it, period.
So
have you found that doing these and hosting these living funerals has changed how you approach death and or your own life?
Yes, 1,000%. It's really made my life so much better and so much more fulfilling, not only doing these writing exercises myself, but being witness to so many, like hundreds of other people's experiences has just, I mean, there's almost not words for it. It's just amazing hearing people, seeing people go through that and hearing what they write and hearing from them afterward. You really just start to change your brain in that way, I guess. If you're sitting in that often, you know, you just, I don't know. I feel like I'm circling around. It's just, it's kind of hard to put into words how deeply it gets into your own brain on the daily.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a meditation in the background, which I think is kind of the purpose of these, but the fact that you're, you know, doing so many of them, I imagined it would be really impactful. So I was wondering, does any of this work influence your music in any way? I haven't had the chance to listen to your music, but.
That's okay. I don't know. I think, yeah, in the way that everything kind of influences everything else, mm-hmm. right? Like my life influences my music and this is my life. So, but in terms of like lyrical content, I would say I've always been kind of interested in mortality and death and impermanence. So I'm not sure that that's really changed. Maybe it's become a little less moody and depressing, my music, just because I'm a happier person. But I don't know. That's a good question.
Something to explore.
Yeah.
And how can people actually participate in the virtual ones?
Yeah, so I have a new website I've put up just for them, and it's called virtuallivingfuneral.com. Very straightforward. Yeah. You can also access it through my main website. You just have to click on the tab. But if you go to virtuallivingfuneral.com, you'll see there's a calendar with all the different offerings of the practitioners. So you can read a bit about the practitioners that are offering them, and also book through the same website. And I also offer private ones, which are, you know, if you just want to come alone or you want to control who's in the Zoom meeting room more, like if you want just like you and your mom or you and your husband or mm-hmm. something, you would book a private. And yeah, if you're unsure about anything, if someone's unsure about anything, then they could just reach out through email and I'll help them.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And before I let you go, there are two questions that I always ask my guests. Number one is, if you were to die tomorrow, how would you like to be remembered?
Just as a kind person.
Okay. Simple enough. I love it. Yeah. That says it all. Okay. And the second one is, if you could compile all the knowledge and wisdom that you've gained throughout your life into a message to share with people, what would that message be?
I think walking through life with love in your heart.
Yes.
Because that encompasses so much.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. I love it. You're the first person who just like gets straight to the point for these two answers. And it's like, it's a short thing, but it, yeah, like you said, it accomplishes so much. So I love it. Really gave this some thought.
I actually didn't. Oh, that's the funny part. What? It's just, yeah.
Well, even better. That's awesome. Okay. And how can people get in touch with you? I know you mentioned the one website, but are there any other social media handles or anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, it's all pretty streamlined. It's just Steady Waves EOL is my website. So steadywavesEOL.com and then virtualLivingFuneral.com. And my Instagram is Steady Waves EOL, steady_waves_, if you want to. But you can find it's also linked on my website. So
beautiful. Awesome, Emily. Thank you so much for sharing everything.
Thank you.
Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, please make sure to subscribe. And if you'd like, leave a review on iTunes or wherever you consume your podcasts. It really helps spread the message. Also, if you'd like to connect with me, follow me on Instagram @conversationsondeath. And I will talk to you guys soon. Take care.